Visit Mercedes-Benz Oakville today for the October certified pre-owned sale. All 2010 to 2012 certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz models are available at 1.9% financing for up to 60 months, plus three payments waived. Winner of the Star Dealer Award for an unprecedented fourth year in a row, Mercedes-Benz Oakville delivers an award-winning sales and service experience. Experience the difference for yourself at QEW and Dorval Drive in Oakville or at mboakville.ca.
Knocking your teeth loose with the best hockey coverage possible. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Looking ahead to Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the New Jersey Devils tangling on a three-game night in the National Hockey League. Welcome to Hockey Central at noon. I'm Darren Millard along with Doug McLean and Nick Kyprios here in our studio. A little bit later on, the president of the Phoenix Coyotes will join us in studio, talk about what's happening in the desert, new owner, co-owner there. So we'll get an update there, just how stable things are with the Arizona Coyotes.
Tough to keep track of the owners out there. It gets like a... Well, there's a lot of them. There's been a lot of them.
The Leafs kick off the unofficial second half of the season tonight against those New Jersey Devils. A lot of news around New Jersey yesterday in connection with the announcement that Martin Brodeur will reveal his retirement plans tomorrow. We have a special Hockey Central at noon tomorrow coming up at 11:30 Eastern time, about 11:25 ahead of Martin Brodeur making it official. Do you think, before we get into what's going to happen tonight on the ice, but they waived the waiting period for Wayne Gretzky. Martin Brodeur is statistically the greatest goaltender of all time, by a long shot. Should he be put right in?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
He's worthy of everything, deserves everything, but that to me is, that's for the two or three exceptional guys. That's, to me, that's Gretzky, Bobby Orr,
but you
Gordie
just mentioned
Howe,
a forward and a defenseman.
Gordie Howe.
What about the goalie?
Well,
is Wayne not the only one that's had it?
No.
How many in history?
I think three or four. Bobby Orr. Yeah. Went right in.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to argue. Did Patrick Waugh go in?
He had a waiting period.
Yeah. Well, I would say that they're comparable. I know number wise, but I'm still saying Patrick Waugh is my guy.
I don't think that they're going to do it. If they did, I don't think anybody would have a strong argument against it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that they will.
I believe after Wayne went in, they said that was the last time.
Yeah.
But boy, when you examine the numbers and the shutouts, like he's got more career shutouts than nine teams.
Did they waive it for any of the females that have, hockey players that have gone in? Have any of them been waived?
I don't know. I think the waiting period was intact.
It was the same.
When we gather tonight for Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, the New Jersey Devils and the Toronto Maple Leafs, and what direction do you think this goes for Toronto? Do you still keep your foot down on the pedal, or do they come out and woe is me? Is the All-Star break enough to wipe the slate clean and hit the reset button?
I don't know if you're a professional hockey player, how do you come out any other way? And I get the fact that sometimes it doesn't look like you're a cohesive group, but from an individual basis, how do you not go every time you step on the ice? You represent yourself first before you do anything else. And I don't say that in a selfish way, but this is your profession. It's your career. The first thing that you have to do when you step on the ice is have pride.
Well,
and I would expect every individual would go out there with that attitude, and then you hope that it collectively comes together for positive result. But
psychologically, they were so beat up, Doug.
To sit there and now suggest that they're going to mail it in now, I've never been able to kind of think that way or deal that way. Mac, you as a coach?
Look at the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. In the last six games, I don't know if they'd won a game in regulation their previous five or six. And they go into the game without Crosby and Malkin, and they played their tails off last night, that group. So the Leafs, yeah, they're beat up. I get it. I think Kessel comes back feeling better. Dion's out. Is that a rallying cry to try to, you know, keep to win some games without your captain? I think they'd come out and battle. And this is whether Leaf fans want them to win or not, I don't get it. Right now it's 50-50. They want them to tank. They want them to win. It's all over the map. They're 10 points out. But I got to believe they're going to come out and battle. And this is a winnable game. Because Jersey can't win a game.
And for the Leafs, whether you're management or their players, is this not a chance to see life without Phaneuf?
And you're fighting for
when you trade him.
Right. You're also fighting to stay on this hockey team. Like, there's going to be some movement, and that's been made clear. But you're fighting for a job. You're fighting for, you know, to stay
you're
here.
Fighting for 29 other teams to think that you're worthy enough to trade for.
You know what?
That's what you're doing.
You know what I'd mention in the pregame speech? Boys, did you see what just happened to a two-time Stanley Cup winner and a valuable guy on those winning teams? He's in Manchester. Play your tails off. It can happen quick in this business. You know it. Everybody, we all know it.
Toronto and Ottawa come out of the All-Star break equal with 47 points. Who ends up with the higher total at the end of the year?
Would you have thought when Mike Richards signed, 12 years, that
it would end this way.
Would even be an option halfway through?
Not a chance.
Oh, halfway through, no.
Right?
Not a chance.
There's not always, a chance. Yeah. Maybe retirement but early.
But not a chance for
at
this.
The very least. But to sit there and go, how am I not even 30? I've won at every level.
Now, do they bring
Calder Cup, Memorial Cup, World Juniors.
Do they bring him up
gold
for the
medal, Stanley Cups. And he is going to be in the American Hockey League. There's something wrong with something wrong with our game, our system, when we can allow that, whether you're ownership or you're the Players Association, a guy like that to be now buried in the minors is, I think, an embarrassment to all of us.
But it happened to Redden. It happened to Wade Redden, who was
Nick, different. You could argue that his level of play just
dropped.
Not this guy, Mac. You saw him in the playoffs. Still a contributor,
right?
But you saw maybe not a top, not a top forward.
No, but it did start. The decline did. Let's not forget, in the playoffs last year, he was on the fourth line. I know they moved him up and down, but he was. This started 2 years ago. This decline, and
still a great checking centerman.
But
he's playing 13 minutes a night,
right? And I think that it's bizarre. It is bizarre, but what do you do? Now the option is you let him go down and play a little bit, try to find his game. Dean would handle it pretty well with Mike, I think. Do you bring him back up for the playoffs? Probably. Then you deal with it in the summer. So if I'm Dean Lombardi, let him stay there. I bring him up for the stretch drive. If you make the playoffs, you use him in the playoffs. You hope that he has a big playoff, and then you try to move him in the summer. That's what I don't think he's buried. I think he comes back
and helps
him in the
playoffs. Shouldn't be there for one game.
And then there's a reset as to what you can get from him. Maybe you hold a little bit of money, and maybe you can move him then. That's what I think the plan is.
But he puts himself in this position because of the contract and the salary cap.
I get all that. I get all that. And hindsight's 20/20. Dean should have bought him out. He should have begged Dean to buy him out. He could have been Vinny LeCavalier all over again.
Not sure that's a great
buyout.
Example.
Yeah. Get your, $22 million.
Yes. Yeah, financially, yeah.
$22 million on his following deal off of his buyout. Please.
I'm telling you.
But you know what? This falls on Mike Richards because he wanted to try to remain an LA King. He tried to have a new workout regime, come back in better shape. That's what Dean wanted. Just, it didn't matter.
But I'm telling you, when you're sitting in the GM's chair and you've had the success that group has had, and he has a history with Mike from Philadelphia, I know it's the right thing to buy him out. I get all that, but that is one tough move. That's a tough conversation. It's a tough move. And Dean's a loyal guy. I know it wasn't the right move.
Mike Richards looks you in the eye and says, believe in me.
I'm, you know what? It happened to me in a couple of times on trade deadlines. I remember sitting with Ray Whitney and I had a chance to move him to Toronto for Ponikarowski. You know, not a big deal, but I had a chance. And I said, you know what? I'm going to keep Ray here because I'm going to try to sign him. And then I got it to the point that they wouldn't let me sign him, and I lost him for nothing to Detroit. But still, there's a loyalty there that plays a big role, and it doesn't always work out for you. And in this one, it didn't.
In this new cap,
but I'll tell you what,
boy, you got to separate the two.
But I'll
now.
Tell you what, if Mike goes down and plays his tail off and has the character that we all believe he has, he could help them in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Jason Spezza talking about the emotion of dealing with a scenario that may not be the right choice. Moved on from the Ottawa Senators to the Dallas Stars. He will make his return to Ottawa this week. Elliot Friedman sat down with him yesterday, and you will hear that conversation tonight on Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Ottawa and Toronto are equal in points. Who finishes higher at the end of the year?
I think Ottawa will finish higher. I think that they're feeling pretty good about themselves. Dave Cameron,
their goaltending's better.
Dave's a little bit like Peter Horchuk.
More consistent.
Dave's fighting for a job, for to be rehired. You're right. Anderson is better. Carlson is gonna. I think they'll finish ahead of them.
The Montreal Canadiens come out of the All-Star break, and
which is good for Toronto, by the way.
If you been around Carey Price at all, you know how calm and cool he is. But his travel coming out of Columbus was all. It was all over the place. Eventually, gets a private plane.
That is,
but then gets back.
But was it his wife's Twitter that showed a picture of him buried on all that luggage?
Yeah.
But more impressive than
that was hilarious.
Is what about what he did for the All-Star game?
But then he comes out and plays yesterday and is the same old perfect.
But what about talking to the play-by-play guys when he's making saves? Like, Carey Price is the most focused goaltender, but he's making saves and talking to the booth at the same time. I know it's a make-believe game.
Chewing gum for you, and we know how difficult that could be if you wanted to walk or something.
Seriously. But that was bizarre, making a save and talking while he's making the save.
Think we'll ever get to that?
Beware of Montreal.
I think we're headed there.
During an actual game?
Well, it's like NASCAR. When you're driving, they're talking,
Well, during caution, though.
Yeah, caution. Yeah.
No. But beware of Montreal right now, because they got the power play. The big knock on them all year.
Oh,
the one thing
awful.
Holding them back has been the power play. And I think it's six straight games now that they've got a power play goal.
It's confidence. There's never been any doubt the talent's been there. And,
What did you think of the Emelin hit on Spezza?
I didn't mind it. It didn't look good. What do you think?
I don't even think it should have been 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But we're in this world now where, I don't know.
I didn't see it. I saw the other one, but I didn't see that one.
Oh, yeah. The Kessler hit.
Yeah.
This was a bit of a shove here, and I don't know. I mean, I think it shouldn't have even been 5 minutes.
I don't mind that the referees err on the side of the 5 minutes, and if it's borderline, then that ends up being your suspension, your supplementary discipline.
Yeah. Not going to be suspended.
Last night?
At least, I hope not.
But in their ear.
Kessler hit, no penalty. And the explanation to the Sedin, Captain Sedin, was that they thought it was accidental.
The Vancouver Canucks.
Did it not look reactionary, though, before premeditated?
Yeah.
Isn't that really the suspension kind of thing, is if you're if it's so abundantly clear, like Ronaldo, that's what you want to get out of the game, not reactionary. Yeah.
The question is, was Dorsett vulnerable in the hit? And it was a hit to the head. It was not really an elbow as much as a shoulder, but it was a blow to the head. I think he gets a fine.
What's Kessler? 6'2"?
Yeah.
And what's Dorsett?
5'10".
Yeah. Is that not one of those situations where you look at the big fish eating the little fish?
Typically, it's the guy has to be really leaning down for that to come into play. Reaching for a puck or something.
That does come into play.
I think he gets a fine. If he was a repeat, he gets a couple of games, but I think he gets a fine.
Vancouver,
maybe he gets nothing.
Vancouver loses. Calgary pulls out the victory over the Buffalo Sabres, who have now lost 12 straight in regulation. And the Canucks and the Flames are tied at 55 points for that third playoff position in the Pacific. And everybody's kind of got this feeling When do the wheels fall off on Calgary? When does a great story
first of all, that's a
become
tough game.
A nice run?
At home,
but you know what, Darren?
But is Vancouver?
I'll tell you what.
In that same boat.
When we sat with Giordano in the All-Star weekend, a couple of times he was up, and you spend some time with this kid.
Quality.
Oh, this guy. There's not a team in the NHL that couldn't use this guy. And when I was standing there talking to him, I mean, I remember meeting him at a Blue Jays game a couple of years ago and talking to him, and it was the same message you got from this guy. Never drafted, out of the KHL. I'm not sure that this guy's not one of the great captains in the game right now, and I'm not sure that this group's going to drop off with the leadership. And he talked about Russell, and he talks about Weidman, and he talks about Bodie.
I think
they're a good group.
It starts with one high-end quality guy with character in your room.
And then the kid, Goudreau.
He started emerging, and then Calgary did as well. And I'm not taking away from the Russells and the TJs and
but
Johnny Goudreau coming
he's
along.
But he's the guy.
And then
he is the foundation in that room.
And
he is your building block.
And I'm telling you, Johnny Goudreau, I mean, this kid is going to the net. Did you see him go to the net on that goal? I said, the stick on the – I'm telling you.
He creates holes, boy.
He's been good, I'll tell you.
He's so quick to get into high traffic areas.
Look at this. Look, going right. I mean, how many guys don't do that? You know?
Yeah.
So, and it was a great play. It was a great pass.
Pretty good hockey players. Yeah. Hudler right now and Monahan.
Vancouver.
Good players.
But I'm telling you, Vancouver is, like, right now the Sedins. Like, I looked last night, one goal in 12 games for Daniel. I mean, seriously, guys. Their power play's on a 2-for-28 run. They got Bieksa, who's, to me, an emotional leader for them, out of the lineup. Miller last night doesn't make a save for them. Miller was good on the road. They don't beat the good teams. You know, yeah, they beat Carolina. Yeah, they beat Philly. Yeah, they beat Florida.
Yeah.
Tampa and Nashville throttled them.
Yeah, Ryan Miller gave him no shot last night. Yeah. Right?
So
no shot at all. And that happens on occasion, but you still don't want to see it that bad.
But they got five games at home. Buffalo coming in, they got a five-game homestand. They got to come out of this homestand. They got to come out of this homestand 4-1. That's what they got to do, and it's not easy. You got San Jose in there. You got Pitt in there.
They're 15 points behind the Anaheim Ducks for the division lead right
now. Am I right? That's Daniel. That's got 1-12, or was it Hendrick? It's one of them. I know.
But to lose 4-0 Anaheim.
But Anaheim, they do not match up with Anaheim well at all. It's a bad matchup for them. They don't match up in any area against them. And with the way Anderson's playing, guys, all he's doing is winning games. And he looked calm and cool. And movements in the net.
He said it after the game. It was easy for
17
me.
17 shots.
Easy for me.
Two shots in the second period.
That's not what Willie wants to hear from the opposition.
Willie was ticked off last night. Willie said
it was easy.
That was a non-compete by us last night. And he said our power, you know, they're not a very tough team. He said our toughness has got to be our power play. Well, when you're on a 2-for-28 run, that's not toughness.
But you know how much Willie Mitchell sets the tone for that team in that dressing room.
Yeah.
And now you're going to go. Kevin Bieksa. Yes. Apologize. Kevin Bieksa out 6 weeks.
Tough. That's real tough on them. Really tough. You saw what he did a couple of games, and we pointed out. They had got throttled in L.A. 5-1. Bieksa fights the first shift. They're on the road. They're on a big road trip. He fights Simmons in the first shift. I mean, yeah, we're not promoting fighting, but this guy gets it.
It's okay.
And they're down on him.
You don't have to apologize. You can just say it.
No, I don't. Because you get yourself
Damian.
In trouble. You get yourself in trouble with the fighting.
You're okay.
You got to, you know. I do love a good scrap, though. But I don't want to promote it, you know?
You and Millard have had a few good ones over the years.
But you now have to go through a pretty critical stretch where the games are getting heavier. The points are more valuable. The pressure is cranked up. And you don't have Kevin Bieksa in your lineup.
And you have limited physical players. I mean, Cassian, They're so mad at him that he doesn't know which way to go. And then he hits. He has the hit from behind last night, and he takes a bad penalty. Yeah. And then Hansen knocks over the Anderson, takes a bad penalty. I mean, it just wasn't going good for them. And like we want the Canadian. We desperately would like to see some Canadian teams make the playoffs here. You know what? Who are in today? Four Canadian teams are in.
Montreal
as of today.
Montreal is in, and then you have Vancouver in, Winnipeg in, and Calgary in.
So, I mean, there's four in. How many make it?
Well, Vancouver and Calgary are the ones that that are battling hardest.
Right.
And trying Winnipeg to stay had a winnable game Winnipeg last night.
But how, against Winnipeg and Malkin with them out.
When you think about the wild card in the West, and you say, okay, just a minute. We're fighting for, say it's Calgary and Edmonton fighting for whatever.
Calgary and Vancouver.
And you got L.A. as a team that's chasing. That's not a comfortable feeling. That would not be a comfortable feeling.
L.A. Kings, because of the win last night for the Calgary Flames, are 3 points behind the Flames and the Vancouver Canucks for that wild card lead or Pacific Division spot.
Yeah.
Because they go hand in hand. Yeah, it's, and I reflect again on Calgary being the great story, but you wonder if it's maintainable. And whether or not Vancouver should be taking over that
spot. Speaking of great stories, did anybody see Detroit coming on this year like this?
No.
Leading right now the Atlantic Division.
And they had I feel for my buddy Girard. That's five losses in a row. They battled back, but they were down 5-2. And Detroit, when they get it going, they're tough to stop. But. And I didn't see it. I thought they'd make the playoffs. I had them in the playoffs because of how their young guys played last year and because of Babcock. But they're rolling.
They lost Howard. Mm-hmm. It hasn't really affected them that much. Steven Weiss has turned into a nice story as well. Last night, I don't know what he had, 3 points.
And this is good for him. When you travel around the National Hockey League and people good are asking you questions about your coach. We're talking about your coach.
Every city.
What's your coach going to do? Where's your coach going to go?
It's died down a little bit as he's coming to Toronto.
Do you think it really has?
I think he's been reading the papers.
He'd have to be so grossly overpaid, I think, to leave Detroit. And that's not to say that if it gets there that maybe Edmonton, maybe the Leafs.
What if he loses in the first round?
I don't think it matters.
Which is a possibility.
I don't think it matters.
No, it doesn't matter, but it does. I don't think it'll matter to the Red Wings, but does it matter to Babcock?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Is Babcock saying, this is a really good regular season team I have in Detroit, but is it a playoff type team?
I think the players, the up-and-coming guys that have stepped up, that they're young enough that he looks at working with a Mac for the next 5-10 years.
I don't think
he looks at a first round loss and makes any type of judgment on that.
So why hasn't he signed?
I don't know.
It always goes back to that. If the situation
I don't get
is
that.
So
I don't think he knows
controllable.
I don't think he knows where that marketplace for him is.
And you know what it comes down to?
I think that's what it is. I think it's just strictly about what is my number. And I think he also feels a ton of responsibility to make sure that he doesn't undersell himself. And when he signs, he's going to pull up 29 other guys with him.
Let me tell you.
That's not a bad thing for the coaches fraternity.
Let me tell you what goes on in Detroit. And Kenny Holland is the best general manager in the NHL. And he's a good friend of mine. But Mr. Ilitch, I was there when he was a young Mr. Ilitch. Yeah, he's an older gentleman now, but eventually it's come down to Mr. Ilitch saying, get him signed or move on. Mr. Ilitch is not a guy that fools around.
I know, but they can do that. They can do that in the summer.
And he will.
Mac, they don't have to do that now.
Kenny is smart enough. And Jimmy Devolano, that they will confer with Mr. I, and the decision will be made, and it'll be done in 24 hours.
That's what'll happen.
Do you think he signs before his contract runs out?
I think he stays in Detroit. I would have thought he was going to leave a year ago, but I think he stays.
I think he stays, too.
But do you think he signs before his contract runs out?
I think they will agree to terms before his contract runs out. Maybe they won't. They'll wait and announce it after. But I think he'll agree. And he'll
if it does, it'll be right before the playoffs, I think.
And then where do the Leafs go?
Why are you so concerned about the Leafs?
Well, because I live in Toronto and I have a great loyalty to the city, and you know, and our company is part owner. I mean, I like to support, you know, my bosses.
You interviewed for a coaching job last summer,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah. You've got the battle of the intern maybe, coaches.
Maybe
in,
you
New Jersey
interview for another one.
They wouldn't be smart enough to do that.
Interim coaches squaring off.
I hired you. Oh, you.
No, they said
I regret
that.
Hiring
they
you.
They said that to me.
No, that was you in Columbus all weekend.
Do you think any of these interim guys stick around to coach their teams next year?
Who are they?
Well, you got Edmonton. Got
no.
New Jersey.
Oh, Edmonton might. He's a good. They yeah, like
Toronto.
Him a lot.
Toronto.
I think Edmonton may. I don't think Peter. Survives no, and I love to see him survive, and I think Peter's a good man, but I don't think he survives.
Be two straight years going through that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could stick around as an assistant, right?
It doesn't matter if you're getting paid. You do Todd five Nelson. Straight years.
Yes, most yeah. definitely.
I think Todd survives
unless Edmonton,
unless Kevin McClellan's available.
Their group think that they can hit the home run with a big name.
If I was Edmonton, I'd be really focused on getting a number one goalie versus worrying about Nelson. He's fine. He's a good young coach. He knows the players. Yeah. I think it's a good move to keep him. Focus on getting a goalie.
And New Jersey?
Lou won't stay.
No, but what do you think? How do you think that thing plays out?
I've been hearing rumblings that Adam Oates may very well become the GM in New Jersey. Have you ever heard that?
I did, and I also...
Maybe I heard it from you, because you're one of my big sources.
And then Lou steps up. There's going to be some decisions with Lou in the near future with that ownership group.
So
and,
then,
and what to do with Lou and how much power Lou has. But I did hear the possibilities of... And they like Adam Oates. They like Adam Oates because Adam comes across a Hall of Famer. He's that next generation of
Brendan Shanahan,
Steve Yzerman, Brendan Shanahan, and they view Adam Oates like that. So there is the possibility
There's one difference.
Grow some responsibility on the managerial side.
There's one big difference between Brendan Shanahan, Adam Oates, and Steve Yzerman, who they continually compare these guys to. Steve Yzerman spent, 8 years working under Ken Holland and Jim Nill?
Yeah.
Big difference.
Yeah.
The other guys didn't. Listen, big difference.
Experience is huge for sure, and who especially you surround yourself around.
And especially in that atmosphere.
Right.
So now, Brendan was there.
Not only did he...
Brendan was in Detroit, right? So, I mean, you give him something. But not the same
role
as Steve
Yzerman.
It's
just not the time. It's being mentored under someone who's pretty good at their job and Kenny Holland.
And we're talking Kenny Holland, Jim Devolano, Scotty Bowman, the Illiges, how you run things. There's a lot more than just, it's the whole group.
I can tell you from conversations that I've had with people that Brendan did take a lot from Kenny Holland, had a lot of conversations when he was in Detroit and quotes those stories and how Kenny handled certain things, certain mm-hmm. ways.
Is Brendan telling you
other
that?
Situations? No. But there was that he was already thinking yeah. about that and gathering that information.
I'll give him some marks for being there. And he mm-hmm. was a star. He was a great player. But don't compare him to a guy that was an assistant there for 8 years. It's not the same.
Where does Marty Brodeur fit in there with the New Jersey Devils?
I am
assistant GM.
Very disappointed that this thing's playing out the way it is. How does this happen?
No. I
need an explanation.
For clarification, you think he should be, tomorrow's retirement announcement should be happening in
Newark. I think
Newark.
When there yes. is a retirement announcement, mm-hmm. yes. it should be with Lou Lamoriello beside him.
Totally.
Okay?
What's
I
this?
Think very highly of the St. Louis Blues organization. If it was me running the St. Louis Blues, I would say, Marty, we love you. We loved having you here. It's just not right. It's just not right.
That's like Gretzky retiring okay. when he was in St. Louis for, a month?
I don't get this.
I don't either.
Here's an idea.
Are you okay with him finishing the year as a member of the St. Louis
Blues? Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
This is just the optics.
Don't retire. Wait. What's the rush? You're under contract. Go back. Help them win a Stanley Cup. And then when the time's right, you go back to New Jersey. You have Lou beside you. You have the devil emblem behind you. And you say, I'm...
No, but just stay on the roster.
I'm done.
Don't practice. If there's a problem running practice because you have three goalies, just practice on your own, because who knows what may happen. Maybe Elliot, maybe the kid isn't, you know, maybe they get into the play. You got Marty, but what's the panic to retire? It doesn't make sense
to me.
You know, that's interesting. I wonder if he'll actually file his retirement papers.
Well.
Or whether he just announces he's done.
You know, what if Elliot gets hurt in 2 weeks' time? You know, why panic here? And you don't, he doesn't have to the practice. They love having him around.
You can say that you're retired.
But, and there's
never any benefit to filing retirement papers.
And even if
you don't have to.
If you retire, can you come back and play in the same year? If you file those papers?
I don't know. No, I think
there's something that
I think
you can.
There's something there.
That's why guys stall on it.
That's right. There is, I think there's a something legal that says
by the way,
you
just
can't
to
come back if you got to unretire, I
just
think.
A great congratulations to Radek Dvorak, who I coached when he was an 18-year-old in Florida. I mean, I read it, went through his career yesterday. I mean, Radek Dvorak, I think he was 10th overall in the Iginla draft, 10th or 11th in Florida. I mean, he had a great career, Radom. He really did, you know?
We're not, I'm not certainly privileged to what really happened between Marty Brodeur and the Devils, but whatever it is, I can't believe it's not fixable.
If anything did,
they talked.
I can't believe
anything did. Maybe nothing did. Lou
talked in the last few days.
Yeah, Lou's not like Lou to me would fix it in a heartbeat.
Lou said he's coming back next year.
Yeah, totally.
Time for the Hockey Central 3 stars. Where? Boy, that was, you told me to do it before the break and then you were that slow, Brett. As Doug McClain ponders and looks around and wonders who his star is.
Well, I worked late. I didn't get home till 1:13.
Wayne Simmons.
Can we tie a ribbon around his finger?
I know who it is. So I already mentioned his name.
Wayne Simmons of the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, last night, Philadelphia were behind, allowed 2 goals on 4 shots, and they made the goaltending change. Ray Emery was out, and Wayne Simmons comes back, scores a goal, and then scores it in the shootout on Mike Smith to beat Arizona. And the Philadelphia Flyers behind Wayne Simmons rallying the gang is my star. Nick?
Chris Letang takes the big hit
from
Ronaldo.
How did I miss him?
Yeah, I don't know. You were snoozing.
I was late getting home.
You got to work on your memory or something. But this guy was great with the absence of Crosby and Malkin. He took charge. Made a great first pass all night, jumped into holes, 5 assists.
Okay.
How did I picked third and you guys didn't go with a defenseman who had 5 assists?
And I wanna
wake up.
I hate to keep going back to this, but I go back to the start of the season when you and Glenn Healy mocked me for saying Johnny Gaudreau, be careful what you say about him. He's got a chance to be a heck of a player. Yes, you did.
Well,
Darren, stick up for me here,
no,
Darren.
It was your
shoes. They
mocked me.
I just want to point out. It's not about you. It's about the star.
Johnny Gaudreau. Healy and Kiprios mocked me because I was supporting Johnny Gaudreau. I have the tape to prove it.
I can't keep track of all the mocking. When we continue.
Did you see him in the skills competition? That was really funny.
Fact that he went along with that was...
And he's great.
Do you know what Voracek was going to do before he did that? Did you see what Voracek had said? He was taking his jersey off, and he had a Rick Nash jersey underneath it, and he was going to go in, and then he changed and went with Gaudreau.
That was Elliot Friedman's story for his 30-30.
Yeah, well, that's where I read it. That's where I read it.
Oh, you did read it? Oh, he already put it out?
Yeah, I
okay.
saw it. Yeah,
all
I saw right. it.
The future of hockey in Arizona.
You're scooping our Elliot.
No, I'm giving Elliot full
We'll get
credit.
An update as we continue in Hockey Central at noon. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks and NHL Network in the United States.
Because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to podcasts of Hockey Central at noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Back in the Hockey Central studios, Darren Millard with Doug McLean and Nick Kiprios. Reminders, Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey coming your way with the New Jersey Devils hosting the Toronto Maple Leafs, part of a three-game night in the NHL. On Sportsnet 1, Pittsburgh and Washington at 8, 10:30 has Chicago and Los Angeles. That's a big one for the Kings. Pleased to be joined in studio by Anthony LeBlanc, the president, CEO of the Phoenix Coyotes. Thanks for coming in.
Arizona Coyotes.
Arizona Coyotes. I will
Don't
never get that right.
Don't call me Phoenix Coyotes.
Honestly, I'm sorry. I apologize. I will
you
never
read Bruce Garriock.
Exactly.
I will never get that right.
And neither will most of the referees. So.
So you go through the ownership change. We'll get to the on-ice stuff in a little bit. But sure. Bearway comes in and buys 51%. What's the impact on the operation of the hockey club?
The operation, really, there's not a lot of change that's happening. I'm still in place running the team. More importantly, Don Maloney and Dave Tippett, we feel are a great hockey tandem, GM and coach. What we're trying to do is just provide them with a little bit of financial flexibility. So
Andy came in and you recruited Andy, or Andy came to you guys?
It was kind of a little bit of both. We were introduced by our mutual bankers in New York City, and we weren't looking to sell. But obviously Andy's been looking for a team. He's looked at a couple of teams in the NHL, one in the NBA. And when we were put together this summer, we just thought that there were a lot of synergies. And then a couple of other factors played in regards to taxation. Having a 51% owner who is U.S.-based provided us with significant tax savings. So it just made sense on a lot of different levels.
Can Anthony Bearway be the last owner to drop a puck in your franchise history? Like, seriously, I've seen too many guys dropping pucks out there.
Well,
owners with jerseys on coming out dropping pucks.
Well, I don't think Gary came out and dropped the puck when they owned the team. But look, we were not looking to add a new member of the group. It just worked out very well. And quite frankly, look, we'd be fools if we didn't look at the valuation that came with this transaction and look at it seriously.
So now that Max enabled you guys to never sell again, where does this leave Arizona long-term here? Is there any windows that they can you guys can leave? Is there buyouts? Is Arizona Coyotes going to be around for the next 20 years?
Yeah, it's certainly our intention. I mean, we all bought in. We've put a lot of money into this team. Not just the team, though. We put a lot of money in particular this offseason into the arena. You wouldn't be doing that if you were only there for a short term. Our view is that hockey works in the desert. It needed stability. As I said probably the last time I was here with you guys, there was a perfect storm of how to deflate a hockey team. You had the bankruptcy. You had a team that didn't make the playoffs for about 8 years. That's going to hurt anybody. We understand we're not having the year we expected on the ice this year, but we have great pieces. We've got a great solid fan base. And on the corporate side, we've received tremendous support over the last 18 months. So we're feeling very good.
So Anthony LeBlanc is with us, the co-owner of the Arizona Coyotes on Hockey Central at noon.
So Anthony, they moved to Phoenix in what year?
I believe it was 96.
And they haven't made money 1 year since 1996. As a matter of fact, they've lost hundreds of millions, probably. Mm-hmm. 100+ million. Mm-hmm. I know you look at the finances every morning and study them.
Absolutely.
Mac doesn't. He doesn't even own the team.
And can it be turned? Can you realistically become a $100+ million revenue team? In that market.
Absolutely, and we're almost there. Our projections when we came in as a new ownership group 18 months ago was to turn a profit within 3 years, and we continue to be on that track. I mean, all you have to look at, allow me to kind of just give you a brief overview of what we've changed in regards to revenue. It's switched between $20 and $30 million a year since we have taken over to the positive. Yeah. That's impactful.
Big-time impactful. Revenue sharing is at the max. Is that included in the $30 million?
No.
Your revenue sharing?
No. These are either long term deals that we've structured with our food and beverage partners, long term deals with our local broadcaster Fox Sports Arizona. Of course, our new naming rights deal this summer.
Yeah, that's great.
Corporate sales in general, ticket sales.
$5.2 billion from us.
Well, yeah, you guys are. We like you guys.
So, one final question.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, ticket revenue is still approximately 55 to 60% of team revenue? Are you even close? I mean, where's your ticket? I mean, how do you get this?
The good news on ticket revenue for us is, look, when we took over, there's no question, we were the 30th team in the NHL when it comes to ticket revenue. That's not the case any longer.
The positive thing, Chicago were 29th at one time.
And you know what's funny? We do point to that. We point to the fact we have a gentleman on our staff who used to work for the Chicago Wolves, and he talks about a time when they used to outdraw the Blackhawks. Right. You know, we understand that we have to put a good product on the ice, and that's the job of two guys that, you know, and in particular Don Maloney, that we have a lot of faith in. And we expect very good things. But look, we are moving in the right direction, but it doesn't happen overnight.
That could happen as early as next year, putting a better product on the ice.
Absolutely. I mean, Max
players
Domi
not in the lineup right now, Max Domi.
Yeah,
how excited are you guys to have watched him and what he's been able to do since you sent him back in September?
Well, I think what it does is it proves that the Tip and Don knew exactly what they were doing by sending him back to junior to get a lot more playing time. I mean, that World Junior tournament was spectacular. And then, of course, the goal he scored a few days ago certainly went a little bit crazy on social media. So things like that, there's a good buzz coming around in Arizona, but not just for Max. I mean, we've got some great pillars of that team. Oliver Ekman-Larsson at the All-Star game.
Terrific.
Another terrific player.
Now, you realize that when Ty comes into the studio with us, if he doesn't like something Nick says, he puts him in a headlock and throws him over to the other side of the desk.
Yes,
and I've seen him do it.
And Glenn Healy. There's a long list.
So keep your head up.
Well, I had the pleasure of having dinner with Ty in New York a few months ago, and he decided halfway through dinner.
You had the pleasure, or you just
to show me his methodology for fighting. So Ty's a great guy. He's a very close friend of one of our partners, Gary Drummond. So we've got to know Ty throughout the process. Very good guy, but we're thrilled about Max.
Yeah.
We're thrilled about a lot of pieces of our organization.
That's great.
Where do you see the biggest strides that you've taken, and what remains as your biggest challenge?
I mean, the strides on the corporate side, we've more than 3x'd our corporate sales over the past 18 months. We've done some great overall large deals in regards to our partnerships. But the ongoing, you know, saga for us, and although it's up, is putting butts in seats.
All right, hardcore question now.
And challenge, hold on. Okay,
go ahead.
Are
you done?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, how big's the fire sale going to be between now and trade deadline? Come on, give it up.
I would not refer to anything as a fire sale.
You were with BlackBerry, right?
Yes, sir.
Is this easier than working for BlackBerry?
Or harder? Not even close. It's a fun job. I've never had more fun getting up in the morning and going to work. But look, I mean, Don is doing what he needs to do to make this team better. And but as I said, the thing that we're excited about is a number of areas. Obviously, we've got some great players on the team. We talked about Oliver. Yeah. You've got a guy like Mikhail Bodker, who's a great player. You can't forget guys like Shane Doan. And we're thrilled to see Mike Smith getting his game back to what we expected.
I love the potential of your blue line, too, with Connor Murphy,
absolutely,
Brandon Gormley, Yandel. Everybody talks about trading Yandel. They're hard to find. And
well, exactly.
Ekman Larson has a chance to be a superstar.
Go back to the change from Phoenix to Arizona, mm-hmm, Coyotes. What's been the follow from that? Impact.
There really hasn't been a lot of impact. That was something that we had negotiated with the city of Glendale when we were going through the acquisition process. In fact, their original request was that we change the name to the Glendale Coyotes.
Yeah, that wasn't
to which we said, no, we're not going to go there. Mm-hmm. But we thought Arizona made a lot of sense. So it was something that was expected, and it's been what we expected it to be, which wasn't that much.
It didn't make sense when you're in Glendale to be called Phoenix. So I think it's a great move. I really do.
Yeah, and we do want to broaden our appeal throughout the state. We have a lot of fans in places like Tucson and Flagstaff that drive in for the game. So it just made
and
a lot of sense.
What about the involvement of Division I hockey into Arizona, college hockey, which is, to me, a big another real positive.
ASU, that is a massive, massive thing for us. Yeah. We've been working with Ray Anderson, the new athletic director at ASU, and his staff about how we can help, be it, you know, possibly hosting some of their games in our facility. Yeah. But just having that level of hockey on a campus that I believe is the second largest campus in the United States, mm-hmm, it's going to do nothing but good things
for us.
That's
a great move.
Busy weekend around Glendale.
Yes, remember, no more owners dropping pucks.
I'll do my best on that, Doug.
You spend the first 10 minutes tuning him in on the financials every time he's in.
I just like to know. I'm intrigued. I like to see guys make money. Were you with BlackBerry when they're 147 a share or 9?
No, I was there at the good time. I left in 08.
So. Timing's everything.
Timing's everything.
Thanks to Anthony LeBlanc, Phoenix Coyote, a co-owner.
Arizona.
And,
it's
not going to happen.
Come on,
I'm sorry.
Mallard.
I could have got Glendale. I could have got Glendale, Arizona Coyote co-owner. Tonight, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, New Jersey at home to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Pregame show on Hockey Central at 7 o'clock. Puck drops just after 7:30. We'll talk to you again then.